going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Dancing in the streets.
They're dancing
baby.
In the streets in Lincoln, baby. Woo! Finally. Woo! We're recording this on Sunday after the beatdown by the Nebraska Cornhuskers of the Wisconsin Badgers on Saturday night. And my sense is, boys, when this episode comes out on Monday morning, they'll still be dancing in the streets.
I will be.
In Lincoln. The Nebraska Cornhuskers are back from the wilderness, friends. Nebraska Cornhuskers are going bowling. Finally, at long last, for the first time, 2016. Get me the people. Get me the Vandalay Industries Bowl on the line right now. We're available.
Get Art on the phone right now.
We are available to come to Sheboygan for the Vandalay Industries Bowl anytime in December.
And they can't, if they want, they could go ahead and give us the key to the city while we're at it.
They should, as they should.
Yeah.
That's exactly. We should follow up with the people of Sheboygan. We let them know last year that they were chosen as the best choice for the Vandalay Industries Bowl. So we should let them know now that we're ready to play.
We are ready.
Boys. Thoroughly enjoyable. There's so much about that win that was like that, like made it perfect, right? Like I was thinking about this last night. Yes, would we have rather have beaten Illinois? Yes. Would we have rather have beaten one at Ohio State and beaten USC? Yes. Of course, we would have liked to have won all of those games, right? But of course, it couldn't be easy for the Huskers this season to find that sixth.
Nothing ever is.
We got to get over the hump, and it was so perfectly fitting. I mean, it literally felt like demons were exercised last night.
Yeah.
To beat Wisconsin, who we haven't beat since 2012, and to do it in the way that we did it. I mean, they could not stop us. That team that had such good defenses over the years that we struggled with so much, we just pounded the ball down their throats. Mm. Dylan looked fantastic. The whole offense was a well-oiled machine. The D was all right. The D was, you know, D looked a little slippery. We missed a few tackles. Didn't matter. And it was just like this collective. I mean, it's just like a reminder of what's like the best of what sports can be. Like this just collective exhale from Husker Nation, from everybody in the stadium to people connecting on social media, to people calling family members, talking to friends, whatever it might be, going out partying after the game, celebrating after the game.
Bombs being lit off in my neighborhood.
our buddies are texting, you know, it walked out of Saturday night mass and they're hearing fireworks going off and just all kinds of fun stuff. And I loved what Rule said too. Like, first of all, we should all celebrate this for the rest of the year, but Rule said, like, this is the last time we celebrate six wins. So I love that too. Like, we're already looking forward.
Yeah.
Like, you know, bowl game is like the minimum standard here, but for now, for today, for this year, guys, this is what we need. And honestly, too, we've said, like, I'm sure we'll spend plenty of the offseason nitpicking, you know, some of the losses and why was, you know, Satterfield was clearly a problem and sort of wondering what had happened if Holgorsen had been around sooner, all those things. I'm sure we'll talk about all that. But this, I think this just absolutely flips the whole narrative of the season.
Absolutely. You're 100% right. Go ahead, Jeff.
This is just my opinion, but I think Marcus Satterfield could be the worst offensive coordinator in the history of offensive coordinators. Because we gave this guy a little over 2.5-3 weeks, and it's completely changed. Unbelievable to me. So.
Holgorsen just shows up with his wild hair and his Red Bull. He's like, give me the playbook.
Mad scientist.
We should throw it to 17 a little bit. We should hand it off to 21 and 23, I think, and do a little. We'll scratch up a few plays on the back of a napkin, and we'll score 44 on Wisconsin.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think by next season he might actually use names, or do you think he'll continue to use numbers? Hey, Phil, 15. Why don't you throw it to 17? 15. Hand it off to 21, will you?
Oh my gosh. I mean, Dylan looks so good. And I think it's a good probably message of we've been pretty fair about him. But I think people in the fan base have been like, oh God, is he regressing? Is he not what we thought he was, et cetera, et cetera. Get a competent offensive coordinator who can put him in a position to succeed. He's making throws all over the place. Guys were dropping drop balls last night that other, like, we would have had more points, but for some drops last night.
I took some notes during the game, and that was one thing I that stood out to me was that.
Jeff, when have you ever taken notes in your life?
I take notes every once in a while, believe it or not. I was engrossed in this game, and the one thing I noticed, it wasn't necessarily the plays that were called, but it was just actually executing the plays and making them happen. Like you said, TJ, there was a couple passes. How many passes did we have in the red zone where it could have been a touchdown, but we were off by like a centimeter of having a foot down? Like we were, Dylan was making throws in these tight windows like he hasn't for weeks gone by now. And then our running backs also were finding holes. Like Emmett Johnson was just lighting.
Oh my gosh.
People were just finding that seam and taking off. It was awesome. It was far cry of what we've been seeing the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, it reminded me of what we said a few weeks ago, which was, look, not every one of these guys is a first-team All Big Ten guy, but we sort of made the point we refuse to believe the players are the problem.
Yeah,
like we have good enough players.
They're good enough,
to be winning these games. And I think, you know, we just needed somebody like Holgorsen to come in and sort of unlock things a little bit for this team, I guess, or just draw up some plays that, you know, sitting at a diner outside of Lincoln drinking Red Bull and just drawing up plays on the back of napkins or
and
something.
A lot of that, I mean, there were things in there that I think were hit. That was some of it was his stuff. Like I think
so too.
Some of them, there was some kind of mesh concepts in there that I don't think were in old Sat's playbook.
I think that's right. I think
some
right.
just beautiful play design and some of those.
I think, and also the other thing is Dylan just, he looked comfortable. Like the one thing confident, I noticed last night, he seemed different. Yeah. And he wasn't running for his life. And he looked comfortable and could stand in the pocket and actually scan the entire field and find an open receiver. It wasn't like before where the second the ball was snapped, he just took off running to the right. He looked different and more confident back there.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to get into a little bit of a game summary. So we'll get into this more, but by the second half, it reminded me of earlier in the season where, like, even when Wisconsin scored and it was getting a little too close for comfort, I was like, it doesn't matter. We're going to go get more points. Yeah. We're going to, or we'll at least take however many minutes off the clock because we're going to get first downs and whatever. Like, I was like back to being like, this offense can do whatever we need it to do. It's fine.
Yeah. I was worried. I was legit. I'm kind of curious what the atmosphere in the stadium was like. When they cut it
to 12,
they hit 12. That deep ball,
ooh,
and then got the 2-point conversion.
Yeah. Honestly, I think the stadium kind of felt a lot like TJ was just describing. Like, it didn't feel like, oh God, here we go again. It kind of felt like, oh, that's fine. We'll go, like TJ said, we'll go down. We'll kill some clock. Maybe we'll at least get a field goal from Johnny freaking Hole.
Woo! Look now. Up, Johnny.
I don't think there was. It didn't feel like. it did in the UCLA game or the Illinois game, where it was like, oh God.
Yeah.
And maybe it was just the lead too. Like they hit the deep ball to cut it to 12. You know, the deep ball in 2-point version, that's 12. Then you're doing
they
the
still,
math.
They
like
still
how much
need two
time's
touchdowns.
left. They need two scores. That's 12. So no, I think
I was like standing there talking it through with my wife and Michael, and I was like, okay, wait a second. 12 points, even if they score and get a 2-point conversion, they still need another touchdown. Then they like a field goal. I was like, am I doing the math wrong? Wait, why did I don't understand actually why they went for two there, but whatever.
Yeah, got analytics it, crap, man.
And like I'm projecting calm right now. You guys know that I sent an expletive filled text to the group.
I was talking to Ashley about how
that's the absolute worst, like the last possible thing you can do. Like you could give up a touchdown there, but make them dink and dunk their way down the field, make them take time off the clock. The last thing you can do is let somebody get behind you for a bomb, and that's what we did. I was also feeling optimism about the offense at the same time. Hey, we're going to get to we're going to talk about this great game against Wisconsin. We're going to talk about the massive weekend for Husker sports. We got a minor waiver from the board of directors to talk briefly about the success of the basketball and men's basketball and volleyball teams this weekend. But first, guys, while you're celebrating, the holidays are coming up. Mm-hmm. Maybe you don't like disgusting, dry, tasteless turkey on Thanksgiving. Okay. Maybe you want some beef with your Thanksgiving.
Chill out.
Or Christmas, whatever it might be. Or maybe you're just celebrating. Go to Certified Piedmontese, cpbeef.com. Premium Nebraska beef, raised and grazed in the beautiful Sand Hills region of the state. They have the best steaks, common fans. Ground beef for your burgers, beef bacon, beef sausage. They got beef ribs, beef brats, all the best beef. Go to cpbeef.com. Use the promo code COMMONFAN, all one word, COMMONFAN, to get 25% off. You don't like turkey on Thanksgiving? Neither do I.
No,
want to make steak on Thanksgiving? That's what the settlers,
like you,
that's
TJ.
What the settlers
nobody's
wanted
like
us
you.
To do.
People
that's
like
what
turkey.
The settlers wanted us to do. They wanted us to eat delicious ribeyes from Nebraska on Thanksgiving. So go to cpbeef.com, use the promo code COMMONFAN, all one word. It's not too late. It's not too late to get steak by Thanksgiving. Cpbeef.com, promo code COMMONFAN, all one word. Certified. Oh, also, you can stop by. You can see it in person. Stop by the local Mercado butcher shops in Lincoln or Omaha. There's one in Lincoln, two in Omaha. Certified Piedmontese, powering the Husker football team and powering the Common Fan podcast.
Yeah.
Also, get your Common Fan socks. It's a great gift idea. Sillysco.com, SillyesCo.com. And if you use the promo code GBR for life, that's GBR number 4, LIFE, you can get 25% off, not just on Common Fan socks, but on any sock, any pair of socks on the site. Sillysco.com, SillyesCo.com. And they got all kinds of fun stuff. It's a great stocking stuffer. It's a great, great fun gift for your spouse or your buddies or whatever the case may be. And for you Husker fans out there, these common fan socks are awesome. There's GBR for life socks. There's Rule Aid socks. There's Herbie socks. Super cool stuff. Check out SillyesCo.com. Sillysco.com. Use the promo code GBR number 4 life for 25% off any socks.
We've already seen some out there, folks. We've seen some people rocking them already.
People love these things.
They look great.
People absolutely love these things. Mm. Everybody, it's the item of the holiday season. It's the trendy item of the holiday season.
Maddie Jr. wore a pair to the game yesterday. Now I told him he's got to wear them every single Husker game. So
I love that. Absolutely love that.
Love it.
All right, guys, let's get into the game. So we scored right away. We look great. We go down the field. We score. It's 7-0. And of course, because I've learned, guys, as we've gotten older and more wise, happiness is just a function of expectations, really, for the most part. And so after we scored to go up 7-0, I was like, this is going to be easy today. We're going to run away with this thing. And I guess you could argue we kind of did, but for most of the first half, it didn't feel like we were running away with it.
No, no.
And then Wisconsin goes down and scores 7 to make it 7-7 right away. So then it was like, then it was like my expectations flipped and it was like, oh God, here we go. Okay. Losing another one to Wisconsin. Great. The defense looks terrible.
Of course, the offense lose by does 50. Their job. There's and the defense Gordon. Isn't doing their job.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Early pivotal, crucial turning point. Okay. We get the ball back. We get the ball back.
Just be quiet for a minute. Jeff.
We're pinned all back. Right. We're pinned back. And Dylan does this little underhanded shovel pass thing.
Oh, yeah.
Janiron Bonner.
Yep.
And Bonner fumbles. And hurt. Like the Badgers are immediately in field goal range.
Mm-hmm.
And that was more when I had the like, oh, geez, yeah. Here we go. Like we're cursed kind of thing. And this was an early sign that the football gods were with us. First of all, the black shirts force the field goal. They didn't let him in the end zone. So great job by the D there. I mean, the defense was not perfect. And if we tackle like that against Iowa, it could be ugly. However, they bent but did not break. They forced multiple field goals, which then Wisconsin went on to miss several times. Mm-hmm. Anyway, props to the D there. And then the play clock's running down. Wisconsin snaps it and makes the field goal. But flags are thrown because they didn't get it off in time.
Yeah.
And so they got to move back 5 yards and kick it again. And then they missed the field goal.
Yeah.
So no harm done. No harm done.
Yeah.
And that was like an early sign of like, okay, like maybe we're going to be okay today. Maybe we'll scrape by today.
Yeah.
And then so fast forward, through to toward the end of the half, we get a touchdown. They kick a field goal. So it's 14-10. I think that was the only field goal they made all day. I'm pretty sure. So it's 14-10. And I think let me look at this. We ended up punting we're pretty late in the half. And here we go. That's what it was. So we end up punting. Let's see, with 7:24 left. Okay, so the mid second quarter, Wisconsin puts together a 10 play 73-yard drive, and so with 3:17 left in the half, they at the Nebraska 24, they miss another field goal.
Yeah.
And so
huge.
Just huge. So at this point we're up 14-10. So credit to the offense, the Huskers they put together their own 10 play drive, this one for 76 yards. And with 17 seconds left in the half, Raiola finds Jamal Banks in the back of the end zone on that. Beauty. That was the one where Nayer caught it.
Yeah.
And they called beautiful it a touchdown catch, on the field. It was a beautiful catch. Even though on TV, they were saying, no way that's a touchdown. And you could see clearly most of his foot was on the white. I thought there was a chance that it just wouldn't be definitive enough to overturn.
Yeah.
And you could argue that like the toe hit inside the end zone before the rest of the foot landed out of bounds. But
right.
So whatever. So then like we don't get it. And it's like, well, all right, I guess we'll probably end up settling for a field goal here. But no, Raiola with that beautiful throw up top that Banks went and got, kind of the only place you could put it, right?
But before that, we got the pass interference when he threw one over to Banks.
That's right.
Pass interference. Right. So we got it down to the 5, I think.
That's right. That's that was huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
That was third and 10
at the Wisconsin 18.
Yeah.
And yeah, he was throwing to Banks, but it was a pretty blatant interference, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't know if you could see that in the stadium, Mario. Yeah. It was quite because the ball looked like it was in a good, like it looked, he was open. He would have been open. The ball's in a good spot. Like, in real time, it was like, why didn't he catch that? And then when they showed it again, he was disrupted and it was clearly really obvious. So we score with 17 seconds left. After the kickoff, for reasons passing understanding, instead of just kneeling it down, Wisconsin runs one play, fumbles, Nebraska recovers, and we end up kicking a field goal right before halftime. So in the last 17 seconds of the half, we scored 10 points. And suddenly, think about that. Like, we all would have been thrilled to make a field, like, if we hadn't scored a touchdown there and just made a field goal and went into halftime 17-10,
yeah,
we would have been pretty happy about that.
Yeah.
Sure.
Suddenly, we're up 21-10 at the half.
24-10.
And everyone's, or 24-10, excuse me, 24-10 at the half, and everyone's feeling, like, suddenly like, oh my God, like, yeah, I think we might
pretty
win
good.
this game.
Feeling pretty
right?
good.
Yeah. Yeah. Jeff, were you gonna say something in there, Jeff? Sorry.
No, I was not. Keep going. Okay. Keep rolling.
I'm surprised you weren't.
Good. I don't want to hear from him anyway.
Why don't you shut the hell up?
You know, that's actually a good time. Loyal listener to the program, Mark.
I was going
to
say, you got any emails you want to read?
He wrote in commonfangbr@gmail.com. Everyone send us your thoughts and opinions and emails. The subject line is Jeff's opinions suck. And then the body of the email is C subject. That's all it says. So Jeff's opinion sucks. So we want to thank, that's one of the most thoughtful and insightful and smartest emails we've ever received. And it's spot on. So thank you.
Just a beautiful human too, Mark.
Thank you.
Mark's just a beautiful, beautiful man.
Beautiful.
I'm sorry. Mark. I'm sorry that I live in the realm of reality. I have to be critical every once in a while. It was probably after my opinion about us not winning this game last
year. Well, I think
I'm sorry, Mark.
Well, he sent that before the game. Just anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, just so you know. But great. commonfangbr@gmail.com. So everybody send us similar emails about Jeff's opinions or other things for that matter. But thank you, Mark, for that.
Thanks, Mark.
Excellent contribution.
Who the hell are you, Mark? Who the hell are you?
All right. So to start the second, I thought this was another turning point, guys, like a series of events. Wisconsin got the ball to start the half. And the Blackshirts did not give up a yard. We forced a three and out and forced a punt. And then Nebraska went down and kicked a field goal. So suddenly it's 27-10. And like, I don't know about you guys, like pretty late in the half, it's still 14-10. And then suddenly like very early in the second half, it's 27-10. And it was kind of like, for me that I think coming out of halftime, it was like, all right, if they go down and score, it's 24-17. We're probably in for a seesaw battle. Like, who knows? Yeah. And we made the stop right away, and then we put our own drive together and went and got points, and Johnny Hull's making field goals. I was like, I think we're going to win this game. Like, I think we might win this game. I think we might beat Wisconsin.
When you go from, like, from the 14-point lead, it's kind of like, okay. For some reason, for me, when it gets to like 17 and you're talking about
three
scores,
possessions at that point,
like you're like, okay, we might be okay.
It would
here.
Take a really,
yeah,
really
it would be a
bold
real
effort
disaster.
To screw this up.
Yeah, you have to try hard to screw this up.
I was still nervous because we can make that happen. We could have easily made that happen. We've seen the team do weird things like that before. The football gods usually crap on us. So I was never comfortable. And if you
notice, I can see you're disgusted with Geoff, as you should be.
I mean,
I was nervous until the very end.
And until that clock hit zero, I was not comfortable. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. I get that. Yep. But Owens is disgusted.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know about this guy.
So I felt like that sequence of making the stop and then kicking the field goal was really pivotal. And then Wisconsin put together, and the other, I don't know about the other thing I was doing, guys, the whole second half was just watching that clock.
Run, clock, run,
you know?
It couldn't go fast enough.
No, after we go up 17 or 27-10, Wisconsin gets the ball. They put together a 9-play drive, 41 yards, took almost 5 minutes off the clock. And this is the one, they're at the Nebraska 25 and they go for it on 4th and 2, and who makes the big stop? Who's been there all season long?
John Bullock,
just the man.
John, like, Bullock,
absolutely, hit the guy in the backfield, drove him backwards, so huge. The place. What was the stadium like at that point, Matty?
Oh, it was just electric. I mean, you could just feel like gradually the 800-pound gorilla, like the weight just slowly, slowly coming off. Yep. And John Bullock, man, like, I want to do it. Like, you know, the in stadium, they announced the starting lineups. That guy's got the great voice, John Bullock. Like, I kind of want to do that every time I hear his name. But he's been outstanding. That was so fun.
Yeah, fantastic. And so then Nebraska, like, we go down and score a touchdown. It was a pretty quick 7-play drive. We're popping off Dante Dowdell run for 9 yards, Raiola pass to Bora Kircher for 19 yards, Ja'Cory Barney run for 11 yards, Dowdell run for 6 yards. Then we had run for no gain, pass in or no, Emmett. Oh no, Emmett for 26 yards, first and goal at the three. Then yeah, that's right. That was that sweet like yeah. wheel, oh,
that little
route
wheel, the, yeah, that little mesh wheel Emmett. Thing.
And then Dowdell punched it in from the three. And at that point, it's 34-10, and it's like we're winning this thing. Like holy smokes! And my I had a buddy who follows Nebraska. He's not really a Nebraska. He's a fan of another team, but he doesn't hate the Huskers. And he texted me. He was watching the game, and he said it was something like, "Let's go! We're going. You guys are going bowling." And even then, I was like, "Okay,
okay, buddy,
calm down,
pump the brakes."
I was like, "Stop, Herb Brooks and Miracle, like play your game, play your game." You know,
like, what you just said there.
Go ahead,
TJ. It's so much different. Like, just you reading off those plays, like, and just the entire drive, like, just the variety of play calling there. And the parody is so much different. If this was, you know, a month ago, if you would have described the exact same drive, it would have been screen pass, screen pass, screen pass, screen pass.
Right.
Like a variation of the exact same thing over and over and over. That's just refreshing to see that we were confident in running the ball and passing the ball. It's just that variety of play calling was awesome.
Wisconsin is clearly in a bad place, in a dysfunctional place, the likes of which Husker fans are all too familiar with.
Yes.
And they made plenty of their own mistakes. But guys, this is a team that only gave up 16 points to number one in the nation, Oregon, a week ago.
Yeah.
Right. And they, but for Dan Lanning, that Riverboat gambler, but for a 4th-and-9 conversion by the Ducks, they may have lost that game to Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So put a 44 points on them.
Yeah.
Like,
pretty awesome.
Dana.
Diners, drive-ins, and dives, Dana.
Hey, that man.
Drawing up plays on the back of napkins.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Sitting in a diner asking
for I bet he's a guy that would appreciate a Waffle House.
Oh man, I bet he loves just a sure good, greasy yep. spoon, like a skillet, you know, like the eggs mm-hmm. and
yeah.
sausage and all. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah.
Okay, so that's going to go up 34-10. And then even another note I made, guys, was Wisconsin scored pretty quickly after that. They kind of like went into this hurry up mode, and it's still in the third quarter, and they scored a touchdown to make it 34-17. And that was like, to your point, Jeff, that was like, okay, can't get like super. I'm doing the math in my head. I'm like, well, even another touchdown, we're still up by 10, but boy, I'd hate for it to be a 10 as close as 10 points in the fourth quarter. Like, I'm just trying to worst case scenario, map it out in my head. And what I loved, guys, on the ensuing drive is the offense didn't let up. So we ultimately went down and got a field goal, but I think so it was really important to get points there, and that was great. But I think what I loved more than anything is the first play on that drive was a 16-yard completion to Ja'Cory Barney, right? And then the next play was an Emmett Johnson run for 14 yards. Like, boom, boom, we're at midfield, right? And like completely fearless. We're not going into a shell. We're not handing it off three times and punting.
Put
and then
the
letting the uneasiness take over the stadium.
Sure.
Like, just put the foot on the gas, keep doing what we're doing. And I think that is a big time Holgorsen effect.
Yeah.
Kicking ass in the red zone, by the way. Like, that's
been
our Achilles heel all year. And we crossed the 50 in this game, and we were just killing it.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. And can I say, and you know, like, listen, Coach Rhule, Coach Holgorsen, you don't have to give us credit publicly. You know, we're just happy to help.
But we'll take it.
But we'll take it. Two things. We've been talking about Emmett Johnson all season long about how he's the best back in the backfield. And we've been harping on, could we see more Henrik Harburg? And what did we see more than we've seen all season long yesterday? Was more Henrik Harburg.
Yes, we did.
I just love how, like, mix him in like they did. I'd be fine giving him a whole series, whole couple of drives. I'm just going to stay there. I'm just going to stay
there.
I'm already out there on this island. So I'm just going to stay there.
Can we give him a whole series?
We give him a whole series, maybe.
TJ, I've never heard you say that before. That's a brilliant idea, though.
But I love, they were at least mixing him in more often.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's the kind of, like, he could probably at the right school be a Power 5 Division 1 starting quarterback, right? Like at a school that's going to prioritize maybe
QB run game,
QB run game or option game or whatever.
He'd be good at Navy.
So, like, the fact that, like, he's from Kearney, he loves Nebraska, like, you want him to stick around. And I have no indication that he might consider otherwise, but just like, incorporate him. He's such a good athlete. Incorporate him in more. Let him come run some play. And I loved how he scored the first touchdown. That was awesome. That was
awesome.
Okay, where are we? So then it's 37-17. Again, all Common fans are feeling pretty good. At that point, we're about 11 minutes left in the game. And then that was when Wisconsin did the thing the one thing Nebraska absolutely could not do, which is give up a 58-yard touchdown pass to the Badgers. And then they went for two, and suddenly it's 37-25, and we're only up by 12. And there's eight and a half minutes left in the fourth quarter. And I'm just going through in my head, I'm like, if we don't get points and they go down and get a touchdown, like they're within a touchdown.
We're a big time.
And we're all holding our breath.
Yeah.
Like we've seen this movie way too many times.
Or breathing in a paper bag.
You know? Yeah, right. Exactly. But not to worry. Not to worry. Dana just pulls a bunch of napkins out of his back pocket.
What do we got going on here?
Shuffles, what do we got going on here? Shuffles through them.
I know I got something for this in here somewhere.
And the Huskers put together a 10 play, 75 yard drive, chew up 5:19 off the clock, and it resulted in a touchdown. A Dante Dowdell 1 yard run for a touchdown to make it 44-25 with 3:11 left, and the game was over.
And then, that was the dagger.
We answered exactly. We kept answering.
What is that?
And again guys, first play of that drive, 8:15 left in the game, clinging to a 12-point lead, Raiola pass complete to Borkircher for 10 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Second play, Raiola pass complete to Ja'Cory Barney for 9 yards. Third play, Raiola pass to IGC for 10 yards. Fourth play, Emmett Johnson run for 8 yards. And then God bless the Badgers when they could least afford it. They had that unnecessary roughness penalty where the guy on that Emmett Johnson, right at the end of the Emmett Johnson run, the guy just throws him down like well after the whistle.
Yeah.
And at that point it was like, okay, like we're going to be just fine.
Yeah.
Again, like no fear, no fear.
No.
Like we're not, I mean, how many times do we see this? Not just in the last year and a half, but in the Frost era and the Riley era, we're clinging to a lead. Usually the lead wasn't quite this big, but we're clinging to a lead and we just run the ball three times and punt.
Yeah. Change the way we play. Like completely just go into like freak out mode. Like,
yes.
Let's just panic. So, nobody panic.
Yeah. Right. Right. Everybody can. I am not embarrassed to admit this, and I'm not exaggerating when I say it. I cried at that point.
I got misty. I got misty in the stadium.
Tears came out of my eyes.
With my son next to me, and the crowd was going nuts. And yeah, it was a little emotional.
Well, it just was this, like I said at the beginning, this collective exhale.
Yeah.
This exercising of demons, so much that went into it, like beating Wisconsin, getting back to a bowl game.
Yeah.
Getting over the hump of all like it collective, like getting over the hump in many ways. Right. And the offense looking, I just, everything. I honestly, I don't want to get dramatic and I don't want to jinx anything. Cause who knows? And this will take time to play out. I thought that it was like the bookend to 2001 Colorado. Like that was, and I know that's weird because we were still really good many years until about 2014, but like everybody talks to that point about the beginning of the downfall.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, we finally said enough. We finally said enough of this nonsense. We're Nebraska. We're better than this. We're not doing this anymore. And it's going to be better from here on out. And that's what I want to believe. And like, I don't know if that's going to happen. We could lose to Iowa this week. I don't know. But like, that's how I was thinking about it yesterday amidst my tears. That's how I was thinking about it.
I love that.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Well put.
Thank you.
So it was so cathartic. Like that's the perfect word for me to describe it. Just like, just a huge sigh of relief and very emotional. I mean, I'm there with my son. Matty Jr. is there with me. And this kid has never seen Nebraska play in a bowl game. He was only four the last time they went to one, and didn't know the hell what was going on. So, you know, for him, he's gone to so many games with me over the years, and we've had so much heartbreak. And the poor kid, like, I've gotten used to it at this point, but like, you know, a couple of those wins where like tears were shed, or losses, I mean. You know, these heartbreaking losses, it takes a toll on anybody. And I've worried for so long about these kids that are that grow up in a Husker household that we're losing them just because we don't have the success. And who can go through all those losses? So I'm thinking about that as, like, you know, the student section's like orderly running onto the field to that one side gate. And I'm like, we've stormed the field twice this year. Like, I've never seen it before, first of all, in person.
Yep.
And to see it twice in a year is just awesome. So yeah, it was something else, man.
That's
I
so
did
great.
See some student fall down when they were storming the field. I hope that kid's all right, by the way.
I saw that too.
Out there, I hope you're listening. You're still
shout
listening.
Out from the common fans. Let us know if we need to set up a GoFundMe.
We had them jump. So
bills.
We're in North Stadium. They were jumping down to the field from North Stadium, and I'm like, somebody's gonna break their damn ankle. Like the dad.
They were jumping down like, right there, Owens, from
the dad
from like
from behind like the goalposts.
No way.
Yeah.
That's a
like,
drop,
it's,
dude.
It's like a 10.
That's
a drop. 10 feet.
Yeah, that's a heck of a drop.
Yeah,
I see you sit right
at minimum,
there.
You're looking at a sprain, son.
It's so fun. They're like people like pass. Like one guy jumps down, then they're like they hand him their like their phone and their like wallet, and they're like, okay, here I come,
catch me.
Well, it was so like in the aftermath too. Like the boys went outside to play, throw the football around, and Charlotte did not nap, so she's just kind of laying on my chest. And Big Ten Network talked about it for a good probably half hour after the game. They showed highlights. They talked about what it meant for Matt Rule's program. They talked about what it meant for the Husker fan base. They just kept talking about it. And they went to Rule in his press conference afterward. So between like watching that and scrolling Twitter and just seeing all the joy and engaging on Twitter as well from the Common Fan account and from my account a little bit, just all of that was just, it was just like the joy of the thing just like washed over us, you know, and we were all, everybody was united in this thing. And it was just so thoroughly satisfying, cathartic, like you said, Matty O. And it just feels like, again, I don't know, maybe we'll go to Iowa City and lose, but it sort of feels like the monkey's off the back, the badger's off the back. And now we can just go play, just go have fun.
Let it rip.
Let it rip. That's what we did last night. We just let it rip and we had no fear. And like, I wouldn't be surprised if we lose in a heartbreaking one score loss to Iowa. I wouldn't be surprised if we win by two touchdowns.
Yeah.
That's the thing is, and give credit to Josh in our text thread that he said, I'm not going to steal his quote, but us winning this game, making a bowl game, I'm kind of on the fence that we might just beat the living hell out of Iowa just because what do we got to lose? You know what I mean?
I kind of wonder like it's sort of like suddenly rocket fuel and like suddenly like something was unleashed last night, or I guess the one we're recording this Sunday, something was unleashed on Saturday night. Matty O, the other thing I thought was really awesome, Wisconsin is well known, and actually if you've been in the stadium in Camp Randall for it, it's pretty cool. They play jump around and literally the stadium shakes. Like it's pretty dang, I hate to say it, but it's pretty dang cool in Madison when they do it.
It is.
But they played jump around in Lincoln yesterday.
Yeah. It was, I was hoping they would do it because they played that DJ Cool, Let Me Clear My Throat.
Yeah.
And I was like, I remember when we tried to make that our jump around. Then I'm like, wait a minute, we should play it. We should play jump around.
Yeah.
I was like, please play. And then there's probably, I don't know, 30 some seconds left, maybe around there, I think. Could be wrong. But I heard like the opening, like notes or whatever you want to call it. And I'm like, oh my God, they're going to do it. And I'm going to be honest with you. I was a little disappointed that more Husker fans weren't jumping in the stadium. I kind of looked around and I'm like, well, maybe it's just you know, older people that can't really.
I was gonna
say
there's a lot of blue hairs out
but
there.
I saw, you know, I look and it's a guy, you know, a couple guys around our age are kind of smiling about it, but not like, do they not want to troll Wisconsin? Is this like because I'm from the school of troll away,
yeah,
get it all out.
Were
I mean,
you jumping?
Who cares?
Were you jumping?
I was jumping.
Okay.
I was jumping. I loved it. But yeah, I mean, and I said something about that on Twitter. I replied to somebody's tweet and said it was, you know, my people around me weren't jumping. And some guy said, well, my whole section was jumping. I'm like, okay, well, maybe it was just my area, but it didn't feel like Camp Randall, that's for sure. I mean, that's it is a super cool tradition and thing that came about naturally
cool
that they do.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know. I thought it was awesome that we kind of trolled him like that.
I love it. It was elite level trolling. And then what a great weekend for Nebraska sports. As Common Fan listeners know, we're strictly a Husker football podcast. We do occasionally get approved for waivers by the Common Fan Board of Directors to talk about other things. So the Husker basketball team just roughed up Creighton on Friday.
Dominated.
I mean,
it was embarrassing for them.
It was embarrassing for Creighton. Kalkbrenner, who is somebody on Twitter said John Holmes made more field goals than Kalkbrenner made on Friday night.
And that's a fact. It's a fact.
So, like, I mean, they just completely suffocated that what can be a pretty prolific Creighton offense and won by, I think, it was 11 points. But it just felt like kind of a dominating performance from start to finish.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the Nebraska volleyball team has been so good for so long, but they, before this season, if I'm remembering this correctly, they had really struggled to beat Wisconsin. And so they swept the back because Wisconsin, the Big Ten's phenomenal in volleyball. And so Wisconsin's been really good. It's been up there almost as good as Nebraska. So they swept Wisconsin in three sets earlier this year. And so it was kind of like, that's hard to do twice in a row. Like just win. It's hard to beat anybody twice in a row. They swept them again in three sets.
That's just a machine. That volleyball
team. Well-oiled machine. Absolutely. So, I mean, just the trifecta. Shout out to my friend Heidi and her family. Heidi's not even a native Nebraskan. Her husband is. And her kids are, one's in college, one's in high school. And they did them all. So they flew in Friday, went to the basketball game and the football game were always part of the plan. And then last minute, they scored tickets to the volleyball game. I mean, talk about just a phenomenal Husker. Put it in my veins, right?
Best Husker athletics weekend since.
It's got to be, I don't know.
It's got to be up there ever.
It's got to be among ever, right?
Like the three major, our three sports that actually generate revenue all won, had big wins on the weekend.
Right.
It's outstanding.
I'm trying to think about there's College World Series appearances, there's March Madness appearances, there's obviously go all the way back to the 90s for some major football success, but I can't think of a time when you had three major sports with
within 25 hours.
Yeah, right. Within the same weekend. And especially like the basketball win is like definitive for the basketball team and makes us think, okay, this could be another tournament team that Fred's got, right? Yeah. It's like, it tells you something about the team. And then obviously for the football team, I'm just going to say this once because this is a celebration weekend and it's a celebration pod. It's a little bit pathetic that we're so happy about six wins in a bowl game, right? It's a statement of how bad things have been. But they, as Dave Resman or whatever his name is on Big Ten Network was saying yesterday, they want more in Lincoln. Like, and it was cool because they were making the point like college football is better when Nebraska's good. Yeah. And so Rule wants to build something here. Obviously, just a bowl game is not the end game or the end goal, but he's like, but first you have to get the first step. Right.
Yep.
And that's what we said. That's what we said all offseason.
Baby steps.
Even though we were saying 8, 9, 10 wins, when we would talk to like the Tom Chattels of the world, they would say the first step is a bowl game. Like they haven't been to a bowl game. They need to get to a bowl game. Right. And so it just was so, decisive and definitive and for all the reasons we've talked about, beating Wisconsin and the fashion that we did, all those things, it was a huge win for the football program. And then volleyball just taking care of business. Like it almost felt like a foregone conclusion by the time it got to the volleyball game. Like of course we're gonna win this game. Celebrate to your heart's content, Common Fan, all you Common Fans out there, it's take the whole all of Thanksgiving week and celebrate.
Enjoy it.
Just enjoy it
and get your
steak and not turkey.
Get your travel arrangements. Get your tickets lined up for Iowa City.
Well, let's, Matty O. Why don't you tell us about your leadership?
I made the call last. I told Matty Jr. that if we beat Wisconsin, I would seriously entertain going to Iowa City, and he doesn't forget stuff like that. So almost immediately after the game, like on the walk back to the car from One Memorial Stadium Drive, Tom Osborne Field, he's already asking me to look up SeatGeek and see what the ticket prices are. So we pulled the trigger. We're going. We're doing it.
Oh my gosh. I love that. Are you staying the night then? Because that's a late game. Are you staying the night?
That was kind of the tricky part. And hotels in Iowa City, I don't think there's that many of them. The ones that there are way overpriced. So
bed bugs.
So we're going up to we're going up to the Residence Inn in Cedar Rapids. Okay. Is where we're gonna stay. It's about 20 miles north of Iowa City, a little out of the way.
Oh, that's not bad though. No, I mean, at least you're not getting in the car and driving for 3 hours after the game.
Right. Because yeah. I mean that we'd be home at like 2 in the morning or something. Yep, yeah, it's a 6 o'clock game. You're realistically probably walking out of the stadium close to 10 o'clock.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then who knows what traffic's like after the game, all that. So,
yeah. But we're doing it. We're going. I want anybody, if you can, you don't have plans Friday, you're just going to sit at home and watch the game. Come on over to Iowa City. It's not that bad of a drive. It's about 4 hours, which around, if you're from the Midwest, that's nothing.
It's nothing. 4 hour drive. And you can stay in the hotel, Maddie. It sounds like you can stay in the hotel room with you.
Come shack up with me and Junior. Bring, you might want to bring a sleeping bag or something.
Stay in the night.
but yeah, we're going to do it, man. Like YOLO, YOLO. Like this, I just want to be there. At the beginning of this turnaround, and I feel like that could be kind of a starting point here last night.
Yeah.
To get things really going. If they can replicate, you know, their performance, then we're going to beat a lot of football teams, guys. I know Wisconsin's in a bad place, and there's we could nitpick and say some things about the defense. I don't think we can nitpick the offense at all.
No.
But it sure looked good last night, and I'm ready. I want to be at Kinnick when we beat those buttholes, those damn Hawkeyes.
Buttholes.
Hey, I dropped the F-bomb a couple of shows ago, so I got to be careful.
I love that. I mean, yeah, I don't think we can bank on Iowa making untimely penalties.
No,
they're not going to miss field goals and things like that. They're going to be well prepared and well coached. But like, I don't think like the Badgers actually showed some dynamic stuff a few times on offense, especially with the passing game. Like, I don't know what it is with the Huskers right now. The secondary is kind of a mess. That's kind of my takeaway. Like, guys seem to be wide open a lot, and then the tackling hasn't been great. And so like 5 yard runs turn into like 12 yard runs kind of thing. Yeah. And so I hope they can get that cleaned up in a week. And then, you know, then you got the off season or the bowl game, of course, but you got the off season kind of figured out, but I also like Iowa's been a more run heavy team, which is where the Nebraska defense excels. And they're who are they back to at quarterback now? Have they had
Eric Stratton, Russ Chairman, damn glad to meet you. it's Jackson Stratton.
Jackson Stratton.
Which, so it's who not, I believe so, is there like the fifth string, like he was playing scout team linebacker like 3 weeks ago.
Okay. So we just like, again, I remember they had a pretty manageable schedule. Sorry, Matteo. They had a pretty manageable schedule coming into the year. And I remember people saying like, they might only lose one or two games. They're 7-4. It's Iowa doing Iowa things. This game is there for the taking. We can win this game.
Sure. Yeah. Their style of play helps us. Because
I think so. And then if the offense
I think
can...
the blueprint, I think to beat Tony White's defense is quick passes. And you saw Wisconsin have some success with it. It's you don't let the defensive line get into the backfield. You know, you're getting rid of it quick, and it's quick slants. But what happens is you're forcing them to do that. They throw a quick slant. Maybe they miss on it. Okay, then it's 2nd and 10. And then that's where you can go. Right. Yeah, that's right. You look at yesterday. Look at Colorado. Like those quick passes, if you don't hit them, then you're screwed.
Yeah.
Okay. Or if you don't find like those soft spots in the zone, which again, that happened once or twice against Wisconsin. I'm like, where are our guys?
More than once or twice. Yeah.
So, but my point is not a strength for Iowa.
Right.
They are not, let's go four wide and split it out and throw some quick slants. Like that's not what Iowa does. Eric Stratton, Rush Chairman yesterday against Maryland. 10 for 14, 76 yards. That's 5.4 a completion.
14 passes total.
14 passes.
Wow.
Caleb Johnson, running back, stud, 35 carries, 164 yards.
Woo.
And they had Moulton also run for 100. He was 12 for 114. So they ran for 273 and threw for 76 and won by 16.
Wow.
So
I mean,
you
that's
stop
it's going
that
to be
run.
it's going to be another one of these games
Stop
are
the
all
run
like
then.
it's going to be a grown man's game, right? It's going to be
Yeah.
cold, I'll bet. I haven't even checked the weather. It's
It's
going to
gonna
be
be cold.
cold.
And so I think
It looks
I
like
looked
30.
yesterday before we made the ticket purchase, and it's gonna be a high of 28, which that's
Ooh.
the warmest part of the day.
Yeah,
So
just like when it was about 20, I got up to about 24 in Lincoln when we were all there for the Iowa game last year.
Damn
So
cool.
it's going to be cold. It's going to be a grown man's game, but like we can win this game. And guys, how many times have we said in recent weeks about how the defense, like, why does the defense need to be perfect? Why can't the offense go? We need an offense that can go win us a game.
They did
Suddenly
it.
we can believe, yeah, they did it, and
Yeah.
we can believe maybe the offense can contribute to this game in Iowa. Like maybe the offense can help
Yeah.
us win this game in
Yeah.
Iowa, you
Well,
know?
look
Unreal.
how we look what happened the last time we beat him. Trey Palmer woke up pissed off, and it was like a deep ball touchdown that put us up 7-0. And it was like, okay,
Yeah. And
these guys are letting it all hang out.
that one
Yeah.
came out of the that one came out of the blue.
Yeah.
That win. I mean that team that was the year Frost got fired, and that was such a disaster.
Yeah.
And that win was such a nice warm feeling going into the winter.
And it was meaningful too. Wasn't Iowa, if they won, they were in the Big Ten championship, I think. We beat them and kept them
Yeah,
out.
we kept them out of
Ruined
the Big
it
Ten
for them.
championship game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ruined it for them.
I love
Yeah.
that. Let's go get another one in Iowa City.
Yeah. And
Boom.
if we go get them, we go take care of business in Iowa City. That puts us at 7-5. That puts Iowa at 7-5. So,
That would make me
yeah.
so happy. That would make me
Yeah.
so happy. And Sammy Kuhn tweeted this morning. He made the point he has no like insider info or intel or anything like that. But he said if the Huskers can get to 7-5, that could put us in territory of like somewhere near a New Year's Day bowl, just because of our, I assume, because of our brand name and the fact that Husker fans will travel and go to a game and whatever, whatever. So that'd be pretty cool.
You know, the
Yeah,
one
like.
that I saw mentioned by a couple different people on Twitter last night
I know what
was
you're going to say.
the Music City Bowl
Yeah.
against potentially Oklahoma.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Play
That
OU
would be
in
hype.
Nashville. I mean,
Yeah.
Husker fans would travel to that for sure.
Yeah.
That's
Heck
and then
yeah.
I looked up the date. It's December 30th. Like that
Oh,
seems
that'd
like
be
a really
cool.
good date for
Yeah,
a
that'd be
bowl
super cool.
game.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And
Well,
you're talking about a month then between the Iowa game and your bowl game, if that's the bowl game, a
yeah.
month of practicing, preparation, you know, the seniors get to hang around a little longer, the younger guys get a little more, you know, prep and practice, and
You know
you throw in an
what I
early signing day in there. God dang it, guys,
yeah
this is fun.
I know you know what I thought about too, just selfishly for us, is we don't have to spend all of December talking about other things.
Right.
We get to
Yeah.
spend
Right.
December talking about a bowl game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How
Hell
good is
yeah.
that? Like that's gonna
It's
be
good
so
for
fun.
content.
Yeah, that's right. We got to get to corn cobs here, but last thing, I've shared this a little bit on the pod, but I just like I have it. It's like in my mind, it's like one memory, but it's really a conflating of several memories. But like bowl games are just the best. Like people like I have this met in the house that I grew up, like the house before the house that you guys remember, like the one I lived in until second grade.
Oh yeah.
We had a wood burning fireplace.
Ooh.
Okay. And my
Okay.
grandparents also had a wood burning fireplace in their basement.
Okay.
And so like I have these memories of like eating Christmas cookies. And summer sausage. My dad always got summer sausage at the
Oh
holidays
yeah.
and wood burning fireplaces and watching bowl games and then like going out and playing in the snow or going out and playing football in the yard at halftime or before the games or after the games, watching bowl games all day long on New Year's Day, all the big ones, right? And we were usually in those, right? And just like I like there's just bowl season and college football is so great. And you could make the, I'm such a baseball guy. I love baseball so much, but you could make the argument that college football is America's pastime at this point. And bowl season, I don't care what you think about it. Like it's so great. Like it's always fun to have a bowl game on. Kids are
Yeah.
home for Christmas break. Like just, I have just this vision in my head of like how wonderful the bowl game experience is. I'm just so excited that we're back. And I'm so excited that our kids get to experience that for the Huskers. And just, this is just like, this is what we've been missing, guys. This is what
Yeah.
we've
TGA strikes me as a big Capital One Bull Week enthusiast.
Capital One bowl week.
Well, yeah, Jeff, you've insulted most of our potential sponsors already. So don't insult Capital One. Maybe they want to be a sponsor. They're really an amount, an
I
amount.
definitely could. I could max out one of their credit cards at Valentino's. I'll tell you
With no problem.
that
An amount, just if you're listening, Capital One, an amount that really wouldn't you know, wouldn't be a move the needle at all for you would be quite meaningful for us. So yes. Just throwing that out there for Capital One. All right, boys, let's do corn cobs. What do you got? Who wants to go first?
God, I was torn. I don't know. I'll give it to Dylan this time. I mean, the obvious, he just looks so much better. I can say he's comfortable making awesome passes, tight windows, doing what he needed to do. I'm proud of him. A good bounce back. So I'm going with Dylan.
I love that. I mean, I think he showed, like last night showed us, if you started to have doubts or worries about what the Raiola era might be like since conference play started, last night showed us like how special this kid is and can be. And I think if we can get back up the Brinks truck, get Dana to stay, tell me, you know, give him an expense account at whatever diner he wants to go to the diner and draw up plays on the napkins. If we can get him to stay in Lincoln, old baby.
Yeah.
Like watch out. Watch
I
out.
Think okay. we can.
Sorry, Mattio.
And we'll talk about that more about Dana in the coming weeks, but I'm going to leave the obvious one, I think, for you, General, because you've been tooting the horn of who I think should probably get it from you. I'm going to go to the offensive line, the whole damn unit.
Nice.
Didn't give up a sack. I think I saw somewhere the only negative yardage plays they had were the kneel downs. I don't know if that's accurate or not.
Yeah, but that's correct. I saw that too. I think that was Mike Schaefer tweeted that maybe. Somebody
it probably was
that,
Mike. He's got some, he comes out with some good stuff. But yeah, the O-line, man. Like, they're just knocking heads around. Like, and I'm looking at them, watching them, like, thinking about, you know, as Husker fans do, okay, what's this look like next year? What's this line? And only two of the guys are gone. It's Scott and Benhart. You know, the other three that played the majority of the game are coming back next year.
Their rules team, that staff's first two recruiting classes, they brought in about 47 offensive linemen.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm exaggerating, but it's literally, I thought, like 12 to 15 guys on the offensive line. Yeah. And some of them, that Gatula, we've talked about him before at left tackle, are already contributing, right?
Yeah.
And so I think there's, and you know, I think it was Severe. I was listening to Severe this morning, Sunday morning. He does that Sunday morning Severe reaction show. And he was making the point that the O-line comes in for criticism, but they've been the least of the problems this year. So I just
an offensive corner that comes in and trims some fat and simplifies things a little bit. And all of a sudden your offensive line looks like all conference caliber guys.
Yeah.
And so that it's just such, there was such a big effect that had. And I don't think we can give Matt Rhule enough credit for pulling the trigger and doing something as unprecedented as bringing somebody completely from the outside to come in and call offensive plays and change things around a little bit. Guys, I don't think we would have won another game if we didn't do that. I don't think we would.
Right.
I don't think we would have beat. I don't think we would have beat. Well, we didn't beat USC, but we wouldn't beat USC, Wisconsin, or Iowa. And so
that's exactly
huge,
right.
Huge move to do that when he did.
And unconventional, and
yeah,
you know, could be criticized as being desperate. All these things, right? And he had the Rhule had the stones to do it, right?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to go the obvious one, and appreciate you saving it for me, Mattio. We've been talking about him all season long. We thought he was the best back. He is the best back. Emmett Johnson led the team in rushing and receiving. Okay. So he had 16 carries for 113 yards, and he had six receptions for 85 yards. So that tied with Ja'Cory Barney, had nine receptions for 85 yards as well. I think, we'll just throw. We can make the rules. We're gonna give Ja'Cory Barney one too. He looked incredible.
Sure,
It looked incredible. And so, like, you can start to see, to your point about the O-line, Mattio, you start thinking about next year.
Mm-hmm.
Dylan, Ja'Cory Barney, Emmett Johnson, and then Dowdell and Johnson is a 1-2 punch at running back. Like, there is suddenly lots to be excited about for next year.
Yeah.
So we give the corn cob to like half the offense, but more than half the offense. But who cares? Who cares?
Sure, just give it to all of them.
And let's give one to the seniors too. What the hell?
Yeah, senior day. Everybody gets a corn cob.
Everybody get, or Oprah here. You get a corn cob. You get a corn cob.
You get a corn cob.
Exactly. All right, Common fans. Have a great Thanksgiving, everyone. Well, I guess I think we'll do. We haven't talked to Evan. I believe we're doing a view from the Blandstands. I believe he's available, so we'll plan on a view from the Blandstands the day before Thanksgiving. Give you a little something to chew on with your dry, flavorless turkey. And
watch it.
Hey, the so board we'll of directors is going to come after you there for the turkey slander.
Take it easy.
They're a bunch of uptight assholes. So have a great Thanksgiving, Common Fans. Have a great Thanksgiving week. Enjoy the holiday. And let's get geared up for Iowa. We got one. You know what's great? We got one more of these in the regular season. And then we got one more after that.
Yeah, we do.
We still got two more games.
Lots to talk about, huh?
Hell yeah.
Have a great week, Common Fans. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Love and blessings to all the Common Fans out there. Thanks for listening. And as always, GBR for life.
Keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.